It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You buy Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Man's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code SOCCERTODAY at manscaped.com.
Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night. Welcome to Soccer Today for Thursday, July 7th, 2022. I'm Kevin Larame and I'll be joined by Dwayne Mullins in a second as we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and click on the notification bell to be made aware of whenever we have a brand new show uploaded. If you're listening to us via podcast, thank you. The podcast is available everywhere you find your favorite podcast. It'll be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, and Google Podcasts. Dwayne, big news in the world of international soccer over the last couple of hours. Tyler Adams reunited with, of course, Jesse Marsh, his manager from the Red Bull days, from the Leipzig Red Bull days, and we'll talk about that later today in his announcement joining Leeds. We'll also look at the W Championship in CONCACAF, CONCACAF's premier women's international or continental championship that serves as also qualifying process for the World Cup. We'll look at the recent scores and the games that are upcoming. But Dwayne, first and foremost, it's official. It has been made official. Alejandro Pozuelo is taking his talents to South Beach, to Miami. And it was the loan, maybe the least good kept secret, whatever that expression was, least best kept secret in the entire league. Here's official numbers. TFC is sending Pozuelo to Miami for $150,000 in general allocation money. That's one thing. There's also additional conditional general allocation money depending on performance. And there's a sell-on percentage if Pozuelo is sold by Miami to somewhere else. TFC will get some of that money. Here's a couple of statistics that I changed since yesterday. During his career with TFC, Dwayne, Pozuelo had a 0.62 goals or assists, and assists I should say, per 90, and an expected goal number of 25.1, and he scored 28 goals. Toronto FC's DP is now in Miami, which means Bernadeschi will come to Toronto soon. But first of all, your official thought on Pozuelo being a member of David Beckham's team?
We talked yesterday about Pozuelo's impact on TFC and sort of his status as a TFC player in an historical context. So I'm not going to get back into that. The TLDR of it is I have a lot of time for Alejandro Pozuelo. I think he's one of the best players to ever play for that team. Perhaps the second best. You could argue maybe second, third. It doesn't really matter. He's a very good player and he will have a legacy at TFC for forever. But when you look at his actual numbers, I suspect that they've been trending a little bit down for the last 18 months, that if we had looked at those numbers at the end of the 2020 season, the weird 2020 season where TFC, it seems years ago now, but had, you know, almost with a shield, and a lot of that was based on his play. you'd see much higher numbers there. So this might be a fit issue, both leaning into the Armas years where he didn't really know what he was doing, and obviously he didn't really know what he was doing. He didn't really fit into that. He had the off-field issues happening there as well. Leaning into this, where Bob Bradley, I don't think Bob Bradley ever really knew what to do with him. He doesn't really fit the system Bob Bradley wants to do. It wasn't a great fit, even though he was a very good fit at the end of the Vandy years. Certainly took TFC to an MLS Cup final, which is no small achievement. Second place in the Shield standings, also not a small achievement. Unfortunately, that season ended short and hasn't really come back since. It probably was the right time to move on, particularly with his contract coming up at the end of the year. I do think from the Miami perspective, they have, I think, re-signed him to another DP contract. I believe that's part of it. That will be likely with an eye to sell, because you can't sell a guy that's 6 months in. They try and get some value into it. Sure. So that's where we're at there.
And we're also very close to a playoff spot for New England. We're not for Miami. They are only 3 points away from New England. So Miami, with maybe the addition of Pozuelo, maybe fancy themselves to have a chance to qualify for the playoffs this year. Miami, 22 points after 17 games played. They have a couple of games in hand versus other opponents in the Eastern Conference, like New England and like Orlando. So with Miami, with the addition of Pozuelo, and I think that may be the angle we could look at it today versus yesterday, more Miami's adding a successful player in MLS, playing in different circumstances in Miami, different setting also. But Miami is only 3 points away from a playoff spot, and maybe the addition of Pozuelo is enough to bridge that competition. Orlando's not firing on all cylinders, and let's not forget, they might have lost their best player, Pereira, for a while, which means they might slide out of the playoff spot, which means Miami might have an opportunity to slide back into the playoff spot in the Eastern Conference, and that could be with, of course, the help of Alejandro Pozuelo going forward.
He really has been. He won the MVP. He won the MVP for a reason. It was a weird season, of course, and we acknowledge that, and the asterisk will always kind of be there in our minds because it's the COVID year, but he was absolutely playing out of his head for that season. He was the best player in the league by far. It was a clear pick for the MVP in the same way that a lot of other MVP picks have been. So look, they've got a good player. Whether he wants to stay long-term in North America is the question. I think it was clear that he didn't want to stay long-term and that in a Toronto system he didn't fit anymore. But at the same time, one of the reasons I have so much time for Pozuelo is because he does have a deep passion. He's a guy that feels. I mean, that's why he was hurting so much last year, because he was dealing with a personal issue that was really affecting his emotional status. But at the end of this time with Toronto, you could see the emotion in his play, the emotion in his face, the emotion when he scored, of how much it mattered to him to have those final few moments at a place that did really, you know, compensate him in a lot of ways and had some up and downs with him. And you know, they got to the precipice of the title with TFC. I mean, technically, I guess the Eastern Conference is a title, but whatever, you know what I mean? So yeah, look, he's a guy that I think Miami could use for a half season, and he will give it their all. And it makes Miami a better team now, for sure. He's a great player. It makes him a better team now. It makes Toronto a weaker team now until we see what they bring in. Like, they have to incorporate those guys before we can say anything. We can look at their past history and say, yeah, it looks damn good what they're bringing in, but we don't know until it plays out. They can put all the billboards all over my neighborhood. I sent Kevin a photo last night on my phone. Insigne is everywhere. Like, I can't walk 3 feet without seeing his face. They're pushing it hard. They're full in on a little project here in Toronto. Pozuelo wasn't part of it. We wish him good luck in Miami. It's a good move for them, I think, even if it is short term, because they do need to get some faith back in that market. And this is a guy that, you know, especially with the Spanish sort of influence he has, that they can get behind. He can work in the community because he speaks the language. It's a good fit for him.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens on the field, if he can help Miami climb back into a playoff spot, if he can contribute to the success of Inter Miami with his new club. That's a question, but we'll see if it's possible for them to do that. And of course, we'll see if he's going to score a few goals. I'm still not necessarily convinced with the output we'll see from Pozuelo, because he needs service. He needs to play with other great players. We'll see if that's going to be the case. But there's a couple of players like Campana. So maybe the Campana and Pozuelo duo could be actually dangerous. And Campana has been one of the best newcomers this year. Maybe him and Pozuelo could be that dynamic duo that the Flamingos need to be successful.
Well, I'll push back in the sense that when TFC went on its playoff run in 2019, they did it without Josie, as we can go back in the archives and listen to how much we were lamenting that. Well, I was anyway, lamenting that throughout that playoff run. And you know, you could argue if they had Josie, maybe they win that game. But nonetheless, Pozuelo playing a false nine took them to the MLS Cup final. He has been able to create on his own at times. Now, that was 3 years ago. That was at his early time in MLS. A lot has happened from then. 3 years is a long time in any soccer body. And particularly when you're playing in Major League Soccer, things change awful quick. And we'll see. It's a good gamble. I mean, I've been in the past. I've seen short-term DP deals before where you bring a guy in for 6 months, either through a trade or sometimes through a half-season signing. It's a roll of the dice when you're looking to make something happen. You can get out of it at the end of it. So it's not the worst risk that you could take as an MLS team. This was a smarter move by Miami than nearly anything they'd done prior to this year, which isn't saying much, but it's worth the risk in my mind. A proven MVP guy, if he works out, he works out. If not, you move him back to Europe. Maybe you get a little bit of money that you split with TFC. Wash your hands.
True, but we'll see what comes of it, and we'll see if there's additional cost for TFC. If he produces well, maybe no. For Miami's perspective, we'll see, but those are great ways to look at it. But it's not the only news in the world of soccer with MLS ramifications. And maybe this is just ramification in nostalgia, in memories that we remember from their time in MLS. But Tyler Adams and Jesse March has been reunited. And reunited, and it feels so good. Obviously, for copyright reasons, it's not what's playing in the background. It's another music. But the two being reunited once again for the third time in their career could be a good sign for both. For Jesse March, it's his first offseason with Leeds. He's building this club the way he wants, heading into his first, hopefully full season in the Premier League. As manager of Leeds United, Tyler Adam played under Jesse March in New York for the Red Bulls years ago now. And with the RB Leipzig officially, he played there under Jesse March too. And now with Leeds, a midfielder, defensive midfielder, attacking midfielder, depending of his mission given by Jesse March. But he's a known commodity for Jesse March. And Tyler Adams will be coming to Leeds as an advocate for Jesse March on the field. Numbers are not that impressive in the Bundesliga. 4 seasons, 7 games, 51 starts with RB Leipzig. He was there when Leipzig was at the top of the Bundesliga a few years ago. 1 goal, 4 assists, 85% passing accuracy. But to me, it's a known commodity. It's Jesse March finding a player that he knows what to expect for, putting him into the lineup, and then he can build around it, knowing the output of performance day in, day out, he can expect from a player like Tyler Adams.
He's the USMNT's most important player in my mind. I said that during qualifying, and I agree with it. I mean, Christian Pulisic might be their most dynamic player, who incidentally might be moving out of the Premier League. We'll watch that as the days pass. There's some suggestion that Chelsea might be looking to move on. Like Chelsea, Leeds has not only an American owner, American manager, but they have American ownership there. So there's a bit of that, I think, happening with this move. Look, this will be a good fit for them. It'll be a good fit for Tyler Adams, who hasn't necessarily played the fullest role that he could have, I think, in the Bundesliga. Perhaps Jesse March might push him a little bit more forward, get him more involved like he did in New York. We'll see whether he can make that step up. I do think there is a step up to the Premier League from the Bundesliga, even from a top club of the Bundesliga to what was clearly a relegation pushing team last year. But more importantly, this is a move that signals, I think, that Jesse March does have full control over that team, that is able to bring in his guys, and this will be a very important season for him. There was some suggestion at the end of last year, and I didn't think it was fair, to be clear, because it wouldn't, to me, to bring Jesse March in halfway, following Bielsa, you know, God forbid you, like, you're coming to talk about big shoes to fill, right? Like, it's almost impossible. That team was in disarray. Yeah. He did keep them up. I mean, part of that was because of the teams that were around there were sort of all struggling for the same life preserver, right? Like, there wasn't a lot going on. So it's important here. Jesse March doesn't keep this team above that zone, and I do think there'll be relegation fodder again. Then he might be in trouble. And unfortunately, you know, when you say soccer, you know, soccer today, not football today. When you say soccer, you don't get a long rope in Europe, even if you do have American ownership, because you're going to hear it when they're talking to their fans, and their fans are their customers are the people that pay the bills. So yeah, it's not fair, but it's reality. Bob Bradley can speak to that.
No, yeah. Well, also Bob Bradley did not have the greatest of teams when he joined with Swansea. Yet. So we'll see what happens with Leeds, but Tyler Adams, a known commodity, will help Jesse Marsh plow through the difficult journey of staying up in the Premier League going forward. Now, supporting me in my journey, in my grooming journey every day, is our sponsor, Manscaped. Of course, with the Performance Package 4.0 that is available at manscaped.com, it comes with a great travel bag made of leather, the Shed Travel Bag, that is useful in your suitcase. Or you can put it in your carry-on, wherever, when you're traveling. If you're traveling in Canada, good luck recently. But the Manscaped comes with, of course, anti-chafing boxers. I say of course because I've been talking about it for a month, but these boxers are great for playing soccer, for being active, for going to the gym. They are anti-chafing, so it helps a lot with the comfort level. Also, of course, the pièce de résistance, the Lawnmower 4.0, a great clipper that comes with protective technology made of ceramic right here. It's very useful. It has a nice light. It's pretty silent, but it's very powerful, waterproof, can be used in the shower with great effectiveness. The performance package come also with a ball toner and a ball deodorant. Yes, great product that helps you feel great, be perfect, also less shaving and better smelling areas of your body with those two products. And finishing, this package comes with the Weed Whacker 4.0 that helps you with your ears and your nose and helps you stay groomed all the time. You can find all these products and more at manscaped.com, and you get 20% off and worldwide free shipping when you enter the code SOCCER TODAY. That's 20% off and free shipping worldwide with the code SOCCER TODAY. Unlock your confidence and always have the right tool for the job with Manscaped. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at @SoccerTodaySPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Sports Podcasting Network.
And we're back on Soccer Today. Kevlar me with Dwayne Rollins as we see. Thank you to our patrons that are part of the shout-out tier at our Patreon page at patreon.com/2solitudes. Pierre, Patrick, Martin, hope your summer is going well. Jordan, Ian, Gonzalo, how you been? Vladimir, Dennis, Daniel, Sean, and let's go, boys. Blue Collar Dan, how's it going? You can join the great persons that are part of this tier by joining the tiers on our Patreon page at patreon.com/2solitudes. And of course, Dwayne and I are back right here to talk about a subject that could be talked about also on the 2 Solitudes podcast. Dwayne, the W Championship is taking place as we speak. Games will resume today, tomorrow. Canada plays tomorrow. Here's the schedule as we speak. And the results at the beginning of this tournament. Canada played one game. They won 6-0 against Trinidad and Tobago. The USA have played one game so far. They've opened this tournament. And they scored 3 goals against Haiti for a big win to start off this tournament. Jamaica upset Mexico in the second game of this tournament. Costa Rica got a big result against Panama. 3-0 also in the first match day of this tournament. There's two groups. There's Group A, Group B. There's 8 teams, as you can see. And the next matchup will be tonight, Jamaica, USA. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, and look, the Mexico result is disappointing. You think with the success of their female league, the women's league in Mexico, that you would expect it more. We have been talking about that for a while. They haven't been able to necessarily show up and perform in the continental tournaments. This tournament is interesting. As Kevin alluded to, it's not only an Olympic or the World Cup qualifier, it's also the Olympic qualifier. So if you're a big fan of Canada in the Olympics, this is a big tournament for them right now. And like all women's tournaments at the CONCACAF level, it kind of slowly grows to a big end. The important games are the games that are going to happen at the end of this. Canada would be expected to beat Trinidad and Tobago. They did. It took them a little longer than I would have liked to score that second goal. It was almost 80 minutes into the game. It was still 1-0. But nonetheless, but they did. Once the gates opened, they did.
The floodgates opened, and then they finished 6-0. It's almost a touchdown.
Yeah, well, they had like 90% of the ball, basically. I don't. That's not the official stat, but it certainly felt like it watching it. But they just couldn't break them down.
Well, I can tell you the official stat is 74. So that's not too far. 74% of the ball for Canada against Trinidad and Tobago in the first game.
Yeah, and then look, I mean, the Euros are on now too. England won their first game yesterday. There's a 3-0 for Norway over Northern Ireland right now. The same problem exists in women's soccer that's been out there for ages, and that's the disparity between the top and the bottom is too big. Now, people get defensive when I say that because they'll say, well, women's soccer, you're disvaluing them by saying that. You're not. It's a reality that you have to face, and it's unfortunate because it sort of makes it harder for bigger clubs to prepare and to get better. And it's we're dealing with it, but it's not fast enough for my liking. However, that's an example of in this tournament. It's getting a little bit better. I think the Haiti 3-0 result, the Haitian program's been doing some interesting things at the youth level. So that's not a bad result for them as much as 3-0 seems like a bit of a blowout against the Americans. That is, they are still clearly the favorite in this region, despite Canada winning the gold medal.
Tonight against Mexico, that could be an interesting one. Haiti could actually do well tonight against Mexico. Here, by the way, if you're wondering who scored in the game against Trinidad and Tobago for Canada in the first match day, Christine Sinclair scored, of course, for Canada. Our 190th goal, I believe, off the top of my head, is 190.
Beautiful headed goal, too. She's well placed. It's smart play. She ran into space, directed it right to the top corner. It's a beautiful goal.
So goal 190, if I'm not mistaken, but this is off the top of my head, so I might be off by a couple. Julia Grosso scored twice. Jessie Fleming scored number 84. Jessie Fleming from Chelsea. Have a lot of time in my life for Chelsea. Janine Becky, 86th minute and scored, and Jordan Heinema scored at the 90th plus one. 37 shots, 13 on target. Okay, that's all I'm going to break down statistically speaking, but I thought it was a good number. 37 shots, 13 on target. That's like a third. That's a pretty good percentage there.
Yeah, TLDR for American listeners and Canadian listeners, make the final, you're going to the World Cup. Don't make the final, but make the semifinals. You're going to have a second chance to go to the World Cup. Win the final, you go to the Olympics. Lose the final, you get a second chance to go to the Olympics. So all is not lost as so long as you make the final. That's got to be the goal. We'll continue to follow this tournament a little more closely as the games get towards the end of it, when we can have stuff to really put our teeth into.
Yeah, and of course, if you're wondering what are the standings, there's two groups. There's Group A and Group B. I don't know if we're going to be able to see. No, we're not going to be able to see now, but we have Group A, which is USA, Jamaica, Mexico, Haiti. USA and Jamaica both have 3 points after one game. Mexico, Haiti have none. Group B is Canada, Costa Rica, Panama, and Trinidad and Tobago. Canada and Costa Rica both have a victory here. Panama and Trinidad and Tobago both have a defeat. Canada has the best differential so far with a plus six, which might be very important when it comes down to differential and winning your group at the end of this tournament, which could be important. But Canada is top of their group heading forward, and we can look at what's upcoming for all the clubs into this tournament, as we have tonight, Haiti, Mexico. Tomorrow, Trinidad and Tobago and Costa Rica. That's a fascinating one. Costa Rica is a bit better in their upcoming program. And this tournament is interesting for these teams like Costa Rica, like Panama, that are upcoming program that have been maybe forgotten for too long and now having a bit more money because of this tournament involved in this program. Panama, Canada on Friday. Canada, Costa Rica on Monday. Panama and Trinidad and Tobago on Monday also. And the last two games of the group stage is Jamaica, Haiti, and maybe the most intriguing one of them all is USA-Mexico. Mexico might be eliminated depending on the result of tonight's game against Edie when they play against the USA. And USA loves to play against Mexico regardless of the national team. It's a rivalry game.
No, 100%. And look, as I said, the World Cup has been expanded. So there is a chance for clubs, for teams like Costa Rica, which have played. They were in 2015, famously, when Canada had the automatic bid. They, Costa Rica did manage to get in as the third team in CONCACAF. They have a chance to go, and that's an important marker for those kind of those size of countries. And the bottom line, though, with this tournament, what's important about it is, although you could argue that losing the Olympic qualifying tournament separately maybe is a bit of a loss, CONCACAF has tried to address that by creating a Nations League for the lesser-ranked teams, so they are playing more frequently. And the qualifying process to get into this tournament, which is, in effect, the Gold Cup for women, is allowing more competition to happen at the lower levels, which, in theory, is going to raise everything up. It's the same theory that applies to the Nations League at the Group B and Group C levels is happening at the women's level. This is an initiative by Victor, but to try and raise the ship, raise the tide, and so the ships all go up with it. So we wish it well, and we'll continue to follow the tournament, as I said, moving forward, and particularly as it gets into those games that will qualify if you go to a World Cup or an Olympics.
And we don't have any graphics for the upcoming topic. It's something that I wanted to dedicate, and I want to dedicate more time to. But we can just talk a little bit about it, because it is a topic this week in the world of football, the Scott Vermillion story. Of course, 2 years ago, Scott Vermillion passed away, and I'm going to sneeze. So, Dwayne, I'm going to let you take over for a second.
I'm talking now. Yeah, no, that's a sad story, obviously, that might have some positive effect down the line when it comes to how we deal with concussions within the sport of soccer moving forward, which has always been a controversial thing because people are, they hold on to their beliefs. I mean, we're in Canada. Here's your bingo card hockey reference. We're in Canada where people resist changes to that game, religiously almost, because they're afraid it's going to dull down the thing. And we hear this with heading in soccer all the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to make some changes there. I'll let Kevin jump back in, but that's, I think if it's positive, possible to get something positive from something so tragic, then maybe we can get there from this.
I agree. And here's a little bit of a context on Scott Vermillion. Scott Vermillion, a player that played in Major League Soccer for multiple years. He played for Kansas City, amongst other clubs. He famously played for Kansas City. And he passed away in 2020. A mix of alcohol and medication combination, antidepressant, and he passed away with the complications of that on Christmas Day in 2020. And then it was discovered, and it was announced earlier this week, that he had CTE. And then his family has been public since that announcement earlier this week, talking about, now in hindsight, they could see, and they have now realized, that he did have all the symptoms of CTE. CTE is chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is not necessarily just caused by concussion. It could be caused by what is known as subconcussive blows, subconcussive incidents, and that is way more frequent than concussions themselves. And there's a couple of amazing research that have been done by Purdue and other Greek universities in the United States and worldwide that talk about subconcussive blows in the world of soccer and in other world. And of course, in soccer, it's one of the rare sports where we use the head as a part of our playing body, where you use the head literally to head the ball, the playing object, into the net, into your teammates. And the velocity of those balls that are made of Kevlar, that are made of very high and difficult and tough substances, comes in at 80, 90 kilometers an hour with wind and water on it, adding to the weight and to the blows to the head, and repetitively. It's a common known fact now that you shouldn't really hit the ball if you're under the age of 15. And that's where the biggest part of the trauma comes, is as a youngster playing. And it does put into perspective, and maybe we should be conscious of it, and how much heading should be still part of the game going forward. But that's almost one of the greatest way to eliminate most of the subconcussive blow. If you take heading out of soccer, most subconcussive blows would also be removed of the game.
Look, in this very show, I celebrated a headed goal just moments ago. So I appreciate the aesthetic value of a nicely headed goal. And I would like to find a solution that would allow headed plays to still continue within the competition, the games, but maybe reduce it greatly on the practice side of things and the training side of things. You know, we're seeing this in the NFL. We have far more conversations about this football, throw the ball through the air football. It's because of the line play, right? The constant hitting heads is something that they talk about, and they have addressed that in some cases by reducing the amount of full contact drills that you do in practice. You don't necessarily need it to get the technique right. You don't need to be banging your head against the wall. So this is the things we'd have to do. This is the ways that we have to adjust our thinking. We also have to adjust our thinking in terms of how we deal with head injuries. And we have been, to our credit, to the world's credit, for over the last decade, I've seen remarkable changes in how people talk about head injuries compared to when I was a kid. Like, I mean, and I'm sure, Kevin, even when you were a kid, our difference in age probably doesn't matter here. It was still got your bell rung, right? Like, it was still shake it off.
Well, I played football, and I remember clearly where you kind of were made fun of if you were on the sideline too long. Because, like, I had an injury. Ah, look at you. You're weak. You had a concussion. Look at you. You're so weak. But even worse is a subconcussive, when you're just like, oh, my head hurts. Yeah, that's normal. What did they say? It's a career coming in. In French, you say, a French expression of the day, Dwayne. It's le métier qui rend. You know, it's knowledge comes in tough, I guess.
There you go. Yeah, look, I played hockey. I played competitive hockey. And like, I'm not big. I mean, I was 135 pounds in high school. So that's what I was playing against, guys that are like 200, right? I got thrown around a lot, knocked around a lot. And, you know, if you got knocked out in a game, they told you to smell something strong and get back out there. Like, that stuff doesn't happen anymore, thank God. We still have ways to go, though. You see it at the pro level all the time, where some clearly head-to-head contact will happen and the guys are clearly out of it, but they go back out. To me, there needs to be some kind of independent ability for people to pull players off and allow substitutions that don't count against the substitution level. Now, some of that's going to be taken away by the...
That's the case. You do have concussions that are substitutions that are not part of your regular substitutions, but they're not used to their full extent most of the time. They're there by rules, but I can tell you, I haven't used that rule once, and not everybody around the league, and even MLS, or people working the games and being the sideline, or being the person who receives the ticket from the coach saying what type of changes, because the color of the paper means something when you bring the paper to the red hat or to the marker mid-table, and not everybody's aware of that rule this year.
Yeah, I mean, look, also I get, and we'll maybe I'll summarize it like this. You get resistance towards that still. Like, I remember having this conversation about 3-4 years ago on Twitter mostly, and people would automatically, or knee-jerk reaction will go, well, someone's going to abuse it. We can't do that because someone's going to get an extra substitution of it. People get worried about the scoreboard aspect of it rather than the health aspect. And that's where our thinking has to change. If someone has hit their head, it's not really about getting an extra sub. You're not going to fake that. Really. And if you do fake it, if one person fakes it out of 1,000 and we have 999 incidences where someone is being taken off for medical reasons, then I'm willing to live with that one person that manipulated the rule. You know what? That's okay. Cheating happens in the world. Cheating happens in all sports in some capacity. I'm willing to oversee that so that we can get more people help. And we just have to change our thinking and not be so focused in those moments about what matters for what's on that scoreboard.
Yeah, but that's true. But I think and we'll talk about it more on a day where we have a bit more time to look into the numbers and subconcussive blows, CTE, explain a bit more what CTE is, and maybe even have a bit more information on the subject. But it is the first MLS player documented to be diagnosed, even if it's post-death of CTE. But it is something that we will probably see more going forward, unfortunately, and something that does need to be remembered and dealt with going forward. I hope you enjoyed today's show, by the way, and if you would like to find today's show everywhere you find your favorite podcast, you can, and that means Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Google Play, and everywhere else you find your favorite podcast. You can also subscribe to our YouTube page, youtube.com/soccertoday. You'll find and click the subscribe button and that notification bell to be made aware of whenever we upload a brand new episode. And as always, I would like to thank Manscaped, our sponsor today. You can get 20% off and free worldwide shipping at manscaped.com. That is 20% off and free worldwide shipping at manscaped.com. Unlock your confidence and always have the right tool for the job at Manscaped. We'll be back with a brand new show tomorrow, previewing the weekend in Major League Soccer, in the Canadian Premier League, and more. But as always, until then, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevlar May. We wish you a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcasts.